CliffCentral.com. Love it. Bit of old school. It popped up on my playlist the other day. I was listening to some music and I thought, wow, what a cool song. I haven't heard that in ages. It's Paul Young, Love of the Common People. Isn't that nice?
If you're talking about old school, can you talk about Boney M quickly?
Are they coming to South Africa?
Yes, they
are. Oh, no. Really?
They are. And they're...
Just in time for Christmas?
They are performing in Pretoria on the 24th of December.
What a treat.
I mean, wow. How?
You couldn't get more Christmassy than that.
Right?
Huh?
At first I thought, no, I'm not sure about this.
But are they
going to
do only their Christmas songs?
Because, I'll be disappointed if they don't.
Wow.
They have other songs?
Are you kidding?
No, they have other songs.
Let me enlighten you, Ben. La 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 la, brown girl in the ring. You don't know this?
Let's be honest.
You mean don't go? You don't know that one. Okay, do you know Rasputin?
The beat sounds so familiar.
Yes, I just thought that was a Christmas song.
No, it's definitely not a Christmas song. All right, we're going to go to Graham on line three quickly. Graham, we'll come straight to you, and then we're going to carry on with these Boney M education.
The legendary.
Songs, yeah. Hey, Graham, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All good. What are you on to this morning? What are you talking about?
Well, I was listening to you talk about the whole burqa thing or whatever, the full black thingy that they're not allowed to wear in France.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if we're going to allow these burqa things in France and in Europe, I think maybe it's time for a cathedral in Mecca, or maybe even better, like a shul next to that.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be multicultural. Let's just take it all on, you know?
Well,
let's build a church and maybe a strip club. A strip club would be good in Mecca, don't you think?
I'd like
maybe
it, Graham.
Maybe a strip club full of transgender people. That would be fun.
Sure, because it would be tolerated in Mecca. Can you imagine? You know that you're not allowed in Mecca at all.
Yes, I do know that.
You're not allowed at all.
I could always wear a burqa in the next place.
I really want to visit because I'm a bit of a, I'm a student of religion in some ways. And I've always been interested in the Kaaba in Mecca and the fact that they say that that's Abraham's house that he once lived in. And, you know, that's the cube in the middle of the great mosque in Mecca around which everybody does their pilgrimages and prays and all the rest. But I'm not allowed. There's a highway and the highway says Muslims. And then there's an off-ramp for non-Muslims, and you have to go on the off-ramp. And if you're a non-Muslim and you go onto the Muslim side, bad things happen to you, very bad things. So
but at the end of the day, it's white men in the West that are the big evil, cisgender, straight white men in the West.
Yes.
Where the fuck are, excuse my language, the feminists in the Middle East, I ask you, with tears in my eyes, where the hell are you guys?
They've been stoned to death. I mean, what kind of a question is that? There are no feminists in Saudi Arabia. They're dead.
Can't we just send all these crazy feminists in the West to Saudi Arabia and then just like help them, let them be activists? Go and activate the Middle East, please, feminists.
It would be very...
Instead of calling Jonathan Witt a man-terrupter on Facebook.
Someone called him a man-terrupter.
Yeah, so now he's calling himself man-terrupter-in-chief.
Oh, that's hilarious. Graham... You are pointing out something, though, that the Polish Prime Minister said not so long ago. He said, we will not allow any more mosques to be built. There's an actual news story in Poland until we can build a Polish cathedral in Riyadh. So I think you're hinting at something that other people already thought of here, but it's not a bad idea. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? We believe in equality. We believe in diversity. Then let's have it all over.
Yeah, you can't be selective. This is what I tell people all the time. If you're against racial problems in the country, then you can't be a homophobe. You can't have it both ways. You're either all in or all out.
I agree
That's
with
the way
you.
I see it.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, cool.
Thanks for interrupting our Boney M fest.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you very much. Here's another one, Ben, for you. How are those drums, Ben?
Solid.
That's some solid drumming. These guys are so great. Apparently, the dude with the afro in Boney M died a few years ago.
Oh.
So they're not going to sound exactly the same. He was really the highlight.
Shame.
So if they are coming to South Africa, but he's not there, I don't know if I'd go.
But Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day.
That's right.
They should go perform in Bethlehem. You get like 100 people, but it'd be quite symbolic in their careers.
Our Bethlehem or?
Yeah. Our Bethlehem. And then the real one.
This is a great song, but its intro is way too long for my liking, so I'm going to skip that. And instead, we'll go to this one, which I think you'll appreciate, Ben. Since you said Boney M only have Christmas songs, you have little faith. How about this one? That's the worst. You know this one, Sia?
I have never. Oh, Holly,
so,
okay.
Lucky guys. You. You get Boney M. Other countries get great artists. Who do we get Boney M? South Africa, you're so fortunate. Anyway, listen, that's not all. There's even more. Okay, you want another great song?
Put your hands in the air. Give me all your money.
Yes, of course.
This one.
Yeah. They've actually had some hits, guys.
They've had some amazing hits.
This will be quite a concert to go to.
Listen to that 70s guitar riff.
But like, when did they come onto the scene? When did they break onto the scene?
Late 70s, 76, somewhere around there.
Or like November 76.
Probably.
Why? November.
Probably. This is great stuff, right? I mean, Celeste's going to their concert.
Timeless.
Anyway,
I still can't get over the perfect plot twist that they're actually from Germany.
Yes, I know. these are black people from Germany.
Black people from Germany. What about Daddy
Cool? Right?
They sing Daddy Cool?
Yes, this is their song.
Yeah, even I hear that.
They sing Daddy Cool.
This is their song.
I swear. I didn't know that.
Anyway, so that's quite enough of Boney M for one morning. But yes, some very, very famous songs. They did Brown Girl in the Ring. They did Rivers of Babylon.
Brown Girl in the Ring is quite an eye-catching
title. Going Back West. Na, 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 na. They did Little Drummer Boy, obviously. The famous Mary's Boy Child. Zion's Daughter. Feliz Navidad, which everybody at Christmas time starts to sing. And they're going to be in South Africa. Isn't that exciting? So I thought I'm glad Sia brought that up. We need to remind you of this.
And I reckon that they'll knock out quite a few covers as well.
Oh! They're the best. But they did lose the dude with the afro. He's no longer alive.
Oh.
70s was a long time ago. You can't expect people to live forever.
Oh, 70s was just... My maths is bad. 40
years ago.
48 years ago? There we go.
All right. So there we are. That's a little bit of music info for you. What else do we have going on this morning?
Well, I've got this is a said by Sia good news story, but we've got to be mindful of these kind of things.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Look, credit where credit's due. ShopRite and Checkers, right?
Uh-huh.
What you can do now is you can buy a bag, Gareth, for 3 rand.
What do you mean?
Like a shopping bag.
Oh, okay.
And every time you use it, they'll give you 50 cents. Now, I'll do the maths in this because I know you guys can't. You use that bag 6 times, uh-huh. You'll cover the cost of said bag. And then you can still keep using it.
I don't understand.
What's the 50 cents part?
Who's making money?
No one. That's the whole thing. We're just being kinder to the environment. So
how much am I losing?
So you pay 3 rand for the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You then go to shop again with that bag, and you get 50 cents off your shop when you've used the bag you've already spent 3 rand on.
Okay.
So you use it 6 times, and your initial investment on the bag is now paid back.
Wait, are they... trying to give you 50 cents to incentivize you to use this bag.
You've missed nothing in the stories here. Yes.
So every single time, regardless of how many times you use the bag,
you could go 100 times.
You could, Gareth.
Your bag would be threadbare, but you could, and you could make some money.
Well, you say it could be threadbare, but these bags are made with you know, you get like a cotton count.
Old amounts of underwear.
Look, it's all recyclable stuff.
Yeah.
But these bags are 70 microns thick compared to the standard 24 microns, which you get in your shitty plastic bags.
Okay, so then shop there because you could save the environment and you get paid money.
But this is the whole thing about people saying, oh, we must care about the environment. And I did it. This is actually a proper thing here.
Good.
Like it's an actual, this is it.
That's great. I'm very impressed. That is a said by Sia thing, but it was said by Ben.
Yeah, because I like the positive stories. I like to find them.
Nice.
I'm trying to.
All right, there we are.
Still figure out how much free money I can make here.
Well, that's the point, right? There are people who can make money out of this now who otherwise wouldn't have given a shit about the environment.
But it's not a lot. Wait, so if I shop there 50 times and.
It's 50 cents, yeah? You'd be shopping your whole life to make this anything well worth
it. I'll only get 250 rand. Ah, not worth it. Never mind.
Carl DeSantis says, Ben, I know how much you love ABBA. Boney M is just a darker version of ABBA. Thought you'd love them more.
Like skin color darker? I think where are we going?
Yeah, I think that's what he means.
I mean, look, I see where you're going with that, but there's nothing like ABBA. Just leave it there.
All right, Ben. Oh. He's about to launch into a massive fan fest.
Yeah, it's like saying, I've got gold bullion at home. It's like, well, I've got tin foil. Let's swap. Talk about its similar properties.
Okay. So there's something interesting in our Cliff Central newsletter this morning. Apparently the ancient Romans in Pompeii had nearly perfect teeth. You know,
I actually watched that movie this weekend, Pompeii.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You know why they had great teeth? They had no refined sugar in their Mediterranean diets. None at all.
Wow.
So they had great teeth. Isn't that interesting?
And they were always Pompeiing.
Mm-hmm.
Ben.
They were.
Orgies.
Go through the artifacts. There was all kinds of art and stuff depicting various orgies.
Romans invented the orgy.
It was a city by the sea. It was the Romans kind of like Sochi. It was the Romans Cancun.
Ibiza.
Yeah, it was the Romans Ibiza back in those days.
In case you aren't subscribed to our cliffcentral.com newsletter and you miss out on useful facts like that, you will also miss out on important updates on some of the shows that we've been doing. Yesterday, Gary Hertzberg.
Man.
He had it was an explosive show. They spoke to courageous parents who spoke of the ordeal and anxiety of what happened at Parktown Boys. They had representatives from Bikers Against Bullying South Africa. Had lawyers, obviously, because it's called The Laws of Life. But you need to hear that show.
Mm.
Do yourself a favor and download it and listen. Harrowing stories of what went on at Parktown Boys High.
Yeah, the words courageous parents there cannot be used enough. Like, just tell the story and retell what they've gone through as family units. And, you know, this whole thing of abuse is just, it's frightening.
See, I thought it was just the water polo coach. Remember the guy who was sent to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Rex. Yeah, turns out it was a whole lot of people and even matric boys doing this to younger boys in the school.
Mm.
Yeah, well, look, there's the whole thing of initiation ceremonies and that general kind of just terrible behavior from senior to junior students.
Horrible.
But yeah, this podcast isn't for the faint-hearted, but wow.
Take a listen to that. You want some real-life drama involving people who've actually gone through stuff now in very recent history and at a reputable school here in Johannesburg, you can't believe the stories.
The entire studio here came to a standstill during that show because we were all just struck by the story and it put a whole new spin on things. You know, I feel like sometimes in our society we do become, to a certain extent, desensitized to things.
Yeah, you become when a bit numb.
Another rape and another hijacking. Right. And we forget that, actually, no, even if it's five people who died in a car accident, those are five lives that have ended. Those are five families that will never be the same again. Those are five partners who need to move on and try to be normal again. It's really a lot. But on the note of initiation, now that we're out of school, have you looked back and you think about some of the things you went through and go, that was actually not normal?
It wasn't cool. Yeah, we used to have initiation too. It wasn't. Look, I don't know. I think some of these things are just stupid and unnecessary, but for some reason...
Well, they're archaic as well.
Yeah, some of these schools do this stuff because they think it's part of their school culture.
Yeah.
You know? And frankly, I don't have children now, so I don't have to care, but I think it's stupid, and we need to get rid of some of the things that are just unnecessary.
Mm.
They're embellishments and traditions that have no function in the modern world, and they make the school look dumb.
Look, and I'm not
and
bashing
I'm talking about the soft ones. I'm not talking about these hardcore things that were discussed in Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg yesterday. Sweet Lord, you want to hear that?
Mm.
Wow. So take a listen. It's on cliffcentral.com. It's available as a podcast. You can go and download it now. I don't know if you saw this, but King Goodwill Zwelithini's spokesperson was talking at the Pik Botha funeral. Remember, Pik Botha died. I was in New York when it happened, so I haven't really spoken about it. But listen to what the King, King Goodwill Zwelithini's spokesperson said about Pik Botha. Listen to this. Some people can't believe this.
To share our memories, his memories with the late Pik Botha. So it was a very touching moment for His Majesty to lose such a great leader. As you are aware, that the King of the Zulus, not only the King of the Zulus, but the likes of Mr. Pik Botha, he will recall himself, he will say to himself, this is my king.
Hmm. So Pik Botha was like, he said that was his king.
What's your take on Pik Botha, guys? Because obviously he was apartheid regime, and then he was seen as a guy who was part of the transition.
Yeah, he was a very enthusiastic early adopter to the ANC from the old National Party. He was one of the guys who believed in a negotiated settlement. He was one of those guys who was doing what he could, even though he was working for the old regime, to try and reintroduce South Africa to the international community. I don't know. I mean, we live in a world now where people are either bad or good, according to dummies. And a lot of dummies will say, well, if you did one bad thing, or if you did 10 bad things, that means you're just bad. And if you did only good things, according to the way history judges people, then we'll call you good until we figure out that you maybe, I don't know, had an inappropriate sexual relationship with someone when you were 23. Then suddenly you're bad. There is no such thing. It's childish to imagine that anyone is completely bad or completely good. I mean, Narcos will tell you that Colombian drug lords can sometimes be human. And if you watch documentaries about the most horrible people in history, you'll see that they had wives. And they had children. So someone must have loved them at some point. They must have been lovable to someone. Not everyone is able to understand that people can be a bit of good and a bit of bad. And now we're starting to reappraise the lives of people like Nelson Mandela. Some people say he had character flaws. Of course he did. What kind of
human?
Yes. We're all very, very complicated, convoluted, complex characters, right? We all have aspects of good and bad. And if you are the kind of person who likes to reduce someone to being just good or just bad, I'm afraid that you're very puerile. You probably don't understand a lot about what goes on in the world. And Pik Botha was one of those people who obviously was part of a big, bad situation. He was there at the tail end of an ugly regime which history has universally condemned for all the right reasons. But does that make him absolutely abhorrent and evil on a Goebbels, Goering, and Hitler level? I don't know.
But you're so right. People are just so quick to have one of the two, either good or either bad.
It is interesting that you're seeing more and more of this Zulu Afrikaans brotherhood developing in this narrative of, like, if you take our land, the Zulus and the Dutchmen, you don't want to mess with these guys. They fought long and hard against each other and against everyone else. They take their land very seriously. The Zulus and the Afrikaners have so much more in common than people are happy to admit. Even though they've been mortal enemies at some points in human history, they do have a kinship. And there was a lot of not necessarily proud history that went on during the apartheid era between the Zulu nation and the apartheid government. People are very uncomfortable to talk about this. And when King Goodwill Zwelithini says this, he probably really means it. I don't know. I didn't know Pik Botha. I'd never met the man. I don't know. He tried to be a good civil servant. He tried to be a good foreign relations minister for South Africa under those circumstances. And people who did know him speak very fondly of him. So, I mean, who am I to offer an opinion? I have no knowledge. No intimate knowledge. I only know the history. That's my take on that. What else is going on?
Well, how about the Titanic 2 about to set sail on the seas?
They really want to call it the Titanic 2. Is that not a dangerous thing to do? Tempting fate.
Right? I'm not really superstitious, but I don't like this idea at all. The construction of the Titanic 2 was first announced back in 2012. An Australian billionaire, his name is Clive Palmer, said, you know what, I want to recreate the Titanic and it's going to set sail. Let's bring this icon back. Well, the launch was originally scheduled for 2016 and was slightly delayed. Isn't that already a bit of a red flag? But now the launch date of the new Titanic 2 is 2022, and it is based on the original Titanic. And they are calling on people, anyone interested, to go on the maiden voyage route from Dubai to Southampton.
Well, there's no iceberg.
What are they thinking, though?
There's no iceberg between Dubai and Southampton, I can tell you that much.
I don't care. I do not care at all. The Titanic 2 is a replica of the original ill-fated ship.
Pretty small boat, though, in modern standards.
What do you mean?
Do we really have to do this? Do we have to name it the Titanic 2? Can we give it another name? The spirit of the Titanic. Give it
building it exactly the same way the original Titanic was. Even going down to the T as having the exact number of passengers and exact number of crew that the original Titanic had.
Do we have the exact number of lifeboats? Because I think it was seen that there was maybe
too
few.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
We're making it exactly the same as the first one. The first one. Yes, but we still got the peasant deck where Rose went for a bit of a
went for a bit of a kerfuffle with them.
Have they still got the peasant deck where they have line dancing and fist fighting and they eat raw chicken?
Is bad. I
Do you really want to be in that day and time? Yeah,
I get the slight allure, but not for me at all. It's going to cost $500 million US dollars to put together, and just like the first Titanic, it will have 840 rooms and 9 decks. It will be 174 feet high and have a crew of 900 people. It will supposedly go, its maximum speed will be 24 knots. So, I don't know, y'all.
Well, look, if Celine Dion isn't welcoming everybody on this boat, then they've missed a trick as well.
Can they clear the whole route of icebergs? Because now we have a way to see that, right? We have radar and sonar and things they didn't have in 1912. Can we just clear the way, and can they go a little bit further south where icebergs don't go?
Well, they're going from Dubai to Southampton, Gareth.
And
they might get like a refugee boat. It'd be the most troubling thing on their path.
Or Somalian pirates.
Oh, you see now, not going to
work. It's a little bit too far north.
But to the point, Ben, surprisingly, actually, the capacity of this new Titanic is 2,400 people, so that's the passengers, but their lifeboat capacity is 2,700.
Oh, okay.
So they factored...
that's
not going to bring back that's not going to bring back the ghosts of Jack and Rose. This is...
What's his name? The director of the movie? Cameron.
James Cameron.
Do you think he's sitting there in the corner going, aha... will be a 2022 plot.
I think this is all fun and games until this thing crosses the Atlantic. Then we're going to start seeing people be a little bit nervous. Then we're going to see discounted fares.
All right.
But I want to know if that you can get like a special selfie at the front of the boat. You know, you can do the full Kate Winslet.
Look, you see, I'm the cornball who now wants to go.
Everyone's going to do that. Everyone's going to do that.
No.
Everyone's going to look to pick up a bit of rough like Rose did on that.
Yeah, they will.
Romantic voyage.
They will.
No, I think this is a terrible, terrible idea. The ship is all good and well, but you're right, Gareth. Can't we just rename it something else?
All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Usher wrote a song. It got Russia's
Usher famous for herpes song.
And green discharge.
A song has been...
This is according to court documents.
Yes, I know. We all know this. But it also, he stole a song. Or team...
What?
Team Usher. Okay, because it's never really Usher. It's always just his whole team. And the original songwriter has now been awarded $44 million, US dollars, which is 79,000 billion trillion rand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's getting. For the song Bad Girl, was originally called Club Girl. And it was stolen. It was absolutely Robin Thicke'd from this guy.
I didn't even know that song. Does anyone know it?
It was from his 2004 album, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Club Girl. Usher.
No, please don't.
And this guy's got the cash now. So it's good on him.
All right. Okay.
So
he pulled a Marvin Gaye on the Robin Thicke of Usher.
Yeah.
Got you.
But now justice has run its course. It's been a lengthy court case around this. And I'd like to know how, you know, are there certain judges who just get music more than other judges?
As a judge, do you get to pick your cases?
No.
Oh.
Not that I know of.
No, you don't. But you can have yourself recused if you're too close to a case.
So if Usher's mother was a judge, she'd be recused from this.
Yeah,
but that's about the only reason.
If one of Usher's love children was like on the jury, or
they would have to recuse themselves
during jury selection. They would go, "Well, you've got herpes. That's Usher's your dad. Can't be on the case."
It's horrible.
And just a small Bill Cosby update.
Oh, look. Hell. I saw such horrible headlines on the magazines in New York while I was there.
What is
Bill Cosby in prison hell, blah, blah, blah. No, it's bad.
If he's not dodging bananas and chicken patties being thrown at him in prison, it's then having to deal with his legal woes. More of those. They say the devil works hard. Well, I think Bill Cosby's legal team works harder. Yo, because they were trying to get a conviction of sorts for him. And this is Bill Cosby's first attempt to have his conviction and sentence tossed. That was denied yesterday by a judge in Montgomery County Court. So the judge, Stephen O'Neill, ruled that Bill Cosby, who's been sentenced between 3 to 10 years, will now have to take his appeal to a higher court. They're saying, no thanks. That's it. We've looked at everything.
Yeah, there's no need.
And nothing's happening.
This is unnecessary. We do not need to spend any more time. Bill Cosby is clearly a rapist. More than once, he is in jail. Let's just stop this nonsense.
Do you think he'll just carry on? He has the money, you know? He has the time. He's in prison. What more can he do?
I don't have time. I'm 89 years old, and I'm unable to see through my glaucoma eyes.
Come on, what are you talking about?
And allegedly, Camille is ignoring his calls now.
Well thank you.
Exactly. She's got Cosby royalties to live on.
What a relief for Camille. Let's all just have a moment of silence for that poor woman.
And she's been now, and Bill has now been calling on the media to stop reporting on stories like this and rather appeal to Camille. For Camille's
Camille to give me a call.
This is Camille's best case scenario. She knew that if she could just sit this out, he'll eventually go to prison, and then she's by herself. She's got the money, she's got the house, she doesn't have this creepy old git fumbling around the house with his glaucoma eye. And then she could eventually go, okay, cool, well, that chapter's done.
Ben, that's a great point. And she has all of the money and all of the houses, as opposed to if they got divorced while
Camille
he was still out.
But if she got divorced or left, whatever, she would have got bugger all. She's got it all, and he is gone. So therefore, she's got it all.
And I think about his daughters as well, who we haven't heard a peep from.
Well, would you speak up if you were his daughters? You'd stay right under that radar.
Well, we don't even know where they are. We don't. There aren't pictures of them out and about.
They probably changed their names. Yeah. They wouldn't want to be called Quantaniqua Cosby.
No, Quantaniqua.
Would they? I think that's her name. Quantaniqua Cosby.
Kovajene. Shanene Cosby.
But I wonder if anywhere in the world the Cosby Show is being played. Cause you know, if you go to like some Eastern Europe, like they're only starting to premiere Baywatch now. You know,
of course.
It'd be interesting to think that somewhere in the world
they're playing old episodes of the Cosby Show, for sure, without a doubt. They're
and
loving
how much
it.
He gets from it? Does he?
He's still getting money, yeah. Of course. No, you can't cut off the guy's earnings because he turns out to be a sexual predator later on. Doesn't mean that his previous work. Listen to the song. You can hear that. You could hear the sexual assault dripping off every note.
Oh yeah. Oh, so creepy.
Instead of the show, I now envision him sauntering to a room.
Yep. You remember he would pull
sneaking
those faces.
After woman.
The Beverly Hills Hotel condo.
Hello. I'm here with the drink.
Can you see the vision becoming blurred?
Oh,
sliding
in. There's a figure above you.
Popping what he liked to call thigh gappers.
Is that what he called them?
Ooh, Quaaludes.
I see
thigh
gappers in my breast pocket. Do you want one? Hmm. It's my little version of Michael Jackson Jesus juice. Mmm. Mm.
Horrible.
And we've only heard of Andrea Constant through this court process, yes. And I don't know her from above, so personally. Yes. But isn't there something admirable about how she's kept quiet afterwards, yes, as well?
Well, good for her.
You know, I think she...
She came up, she was brave enough to stand up to this man.
Yeah, she did that one interview. And one TV and
she's not looking for attention.
Yeah.
She did it for the right reasons.
You
she's
think
she's
of
exemplary. She's
some
exemplary.
People would be at protests now,
well,
still
look
speaking
at Samantha
out.
Markle. Her sister gets married to Prince Harry. She can't shut her cake hole for 5 minutes.
Well, the Markle family aren't the definition of great people.
Or as Ben calls her, Rachel from Suits.
I mean,
yeah, she's the Duchess of the Duty Free Store.
She went all to the palace and then she was denied. And of course, Samantha, you knew as you wheeled yourself up to the palace.
Wheeled. Because she's in a wheelchair.
She's in a wheelchair.
She wheeled.
She knew. You wheeled.
Hello.
Didn't even get to knock on the door because, of course, security would deny. You knew people were going to take pictures. And then you want to look so sad.
She wheeled up to the palace.
Oh, it gets even more pitiful.
Did she actually wheel up to the gates?
She literally did. And she wrote a letter. We don't know what's in this letter, but she loved it. And she handed it over to the palace security. And then afterwards, she wheeled herself to one of those souvenir stalls. I kid you
strong
not.
Strong arms. Very strong arms with all of this.
I never lie. You can Google these details. But she bought Meghan and Harry masks and mugs. You know, those corny touristy things.
Oh, it's horrible. This is horrible. This is the worst story.
Girl, you didn't have to buy any masks. You could be in the palace, but you ruined things, didn't you?
Wheeled herself up to the palace. It was turned away.
Oh, Samantha Markle, man.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. All right. We've got some very interesting stuff for you this morning. I mean, we try to fill every day with interesting stuff, but today we've already got something cool. Remember we told you about that incredible opportunity that Alpha Code was running for entrepreneurs in South Africa, the Alpha Code Incubate Program, right? We met some people who had benefited from this amazing program before. Well, they've now awarded entrepreneurial packages to 8 of South Africa's most promising financial services startups. The entrepreneurial packages comprise 1 million rand in grant funding and 1 million rand in support. Now, that support includes mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, as well as marketing, legal, and other business support services. The winning fintech entrepreneurs will also have access to the broader RMI network, which of course includes Rand Merchant Investments and all of their various subsidiary companies. That is an introduction to the business world that you could not wish to be better. It's absolutely incredible. You know, it's hard to run a business. Anyone who has run a business will tell you this. It's impossible in an economy like ours to make it break even, let alone make a profit. And in those first and crucial few months that you start a business, you don't know what to do. You can't hire a lawyer and an auditor and an insurance expert and an HR specialist and, you know, all these things that you need. It is very, very difficult to get these things going. But thanks to Alpha Code, they've managed to make it a little bit easier for some of these companies to get the things that they need to make their start a little bit less rocky. Now, over 200 startups applied, and they've all applied to participate in the Alpha Code program. Of these, 16 made it to the final pitch, and from there, 8 recipients were selected. Now, the program has disbursed 13 million rand in funding to 15 black-owned financial services businesses since it began 3 years ago. To show off the incredible results of this program this morning, we have some of the deserving winners to chat around the work that they do, as well as a representative from Alpha Code here too. So from Alpha Code, let us meet Andile Maseko. How are you, Andile?
I'm good, thanks, you Gareth.
Good, very good. So Andile, first of all, this is great work that you guys are doing. It must have been really interesting to discover who was behind these companies, to hear their stories, to see how you could get involved, and obviously to be part of their future success.
Yes, definitely. The uptake that we had when we started with the campaign, we had about 210 applications. Mm-hmm. And to start seeing the kind of ideas that people were formulating was really interesting. And then when we whittled it down to the top 16 that got to pitch last week Thursday, and engaging with the founders and the rest of their teams, incredible guys.
So it must be quite gratifying to see not only businesses that have great ideas, but businesses that have implementation strategies and ways for you guys at Alpha Code to be able to integrate yourselves usefully to them.
Yes.
Right, because that's the whole plan here. It's not your business.
Yeah.
You're trying to help these businesses grow.
Correct.
Thank goodness for you, because we need this in our economy. Jobs aren't going to be created by government. Jobs aren't going to be created by the big corporates anymore.
Yeah.
They're trying to downscale, if anything. The only place that there's going to be meaningful and gainful employment for a lot of young South Africans is going to be in small businesses. So obviously by doing this, you've been able to already start to influence the economy in a positive way. So tell me about some of these companies. Tell me about some of these individuals.
So we had guys all the way from varsity level to 45-year-olds who are in corporate. The successful eight, we have one guy who is finishing off his last year in university at UCT, and the project that he's working on is SME financing, so mm-hmm. he's integrating with the ERP systems. And then the guys that we have in the studio, they are CAs. There's one who is a digital savvy coder and a seasoned entrepreneur, and mm-hmm. the ideas that they're coming with, the one is a digital savings platform and the other is an incentive based, they'll better explain it, but I'm going to quickly try to summarize it. So an incentive based program to try and de-risk tenants for landlords in the CBD.
Oh wow.
So yeah.
All right.
Those are the kind of interesting
ideas.
Okay,
so introduce us to these two gentlemen sitting here.
So the two guys here are from Jammy, and okay. they are providing the solution with incentive based rewards for the tenants. And this is Adrian and Mark.
Hey Adrian, hey Mark. Nice to meet you guys. First of all, congratulations. Clearly your company is not only a very viable business, but one that deserves the attention of Alpha Code. I mean, that's quite a cool pat on the back right at the start of your business, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Makes things a little bit easier because you can't afford all the resources you need some of the time.
Yeah.
And when you do manage to afford these things, you don't know whether it's a waste of money or not.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I mean, starting a business is hard. So how has Alpha Code been helpful to you so far? And what do you hope they will be able to do for you going forward?
So Alpha Code is connected to RMI. And I think for me, the links between some of the guys that have made investments into Discovery and OutSurance mm-hmm. Is really valuable. So they've built businesses before. So Mark and I have been engaging with Alpha Code, I think, for the last 2 months or so through the competition entries and mm-hmm. the pitch events, etc. So the validation that comes from, you know, winning the R1 million is great. But on the one hand, we're also thinking to ourselves, we've got a business to start and gain some traction.
No, it's not like you're going to go on a shopping spree.
No, absolutely.
You've got to plug this into the business.
Not if Andile sitting around next
to me. So tell me, Mark, what is Jammy? What's the idea here? I mean, you know, Andile tried to explain it to us, but it's not his business. So you tell it to me.
So maybe let's just start with why. So what we want to do is to align landlord and tenant behavior to create sustainable cities.
Okay.
Right, so
that's quite a big ask.
Yeah.
Usually tenant and landlord are at polar opposites.
Exactly. So, I mean, the context is, but by 2050, most people will be living in cities across the world.
Right.
So then the next question you need to ask is, how we live in cities will determine the outcomes of the really big issues we're facing today, like global warming and income inequality.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty important to try to get people living sustainably. So what we do then is we reward tenants on the basis of, say, paying on time or maintaining the units and that sort of stuff. We share parts of the rental with them. The same way Vitality might share rewards with you for going to gym every single day, right?
Okay.
Because that's what a landlord wants. A landlord wants you to pay on time, and he wants you to stay for longer. And afterwards, he wants to find his units still in one piece.
Sure.
So at scale, if we could get enough tenants, we hope then that we could actually start to influence landlords to start building more sustainably out there. So when I say more sustainably, mixed-use, higher densities to get people to live closer to their work mm-hmm. and to start walking more as opposed to using transport. So South Africa, because of apartheid spatial planning, has got huge issues with urban sprawl.
People spend most of their salaries just trying to get to and from work.
It's unbelievably massive problem. And for us, we feel that it denies people dignity out there because I can barely even make it out every
dignity summer. Denies them half their salary.
Absolutely.
And if you look at the petrol price, that is an undignified situation to be in.
Absolutely.
So, all right, so you're going to incentivize good behavior, as I understand it, between tenants and landlords, and at the same time then improve the entire urban environment. So your long-term goal is quite audacious, but how do you incentivize the tenants? What's in it for them? I understand that for the landlords, if the tenants are trying to get points by not destroying the place, by paying on time and so on, that helps the landlord. They want those kinds of tenants, so it gives you almost a prospectus on that tenant before they arrive.
Yeah.
But what's in it for the tenant?
So we use a program called Jammy Bucks, which is similar to your Vitality Rewards points.
Uh-huh.
That if you follow the right behaviors, like Mark mentioned, you pay your rent on time, you look after the unit, etc. You then earn Jammy Bucks, which you can spend within our ecosystem. So you've got a situation where, let's say, someone is earning 6,000 or 7,000 rand a month, and all of that money is being spent on the top three are food, housing, and transport.
Uh-huh.
So currently what we have is you follow the right behaviors, you're spending 7,000 rand, 3,000 rand on rent, you get a rebate on your rent, and essentially in the form of Jammy Bucks, which you spend with us, and currently you'd be able to spend that on grocery items. So immediately that unlocks between 150 and 300 rand worth of savings within your grocery spend. Eventually, we'd like to take that to things like transport, because that's the next big thing. I mean, you're spending half your money getting to work.
Sure.
If we can aggregate the demand and provide discounts and optimize the route planning to work, then we can provide even more margin within the same salary.
Fantastic. Practical solutions for people's problems. I love it.
All
right, so obviously one of your challenges is going to be to get people to sign up, to get people to participate in this program. How do you overcome that problem, apart from spending thousands and thousands on marketing?
So to scale this, I think the easy answer there is obviously to develop a website and an awesome tenancy experience. So you can go on the app, sign up as a landlord or a tenant. But at the moment, myself and Adrian are on the ground in the CBD talking to people, talking to our customers, trying to put a presence out there. And that's how you initially get it out.
Yeah.
Once you've got people living in buildings, you develop a brand. And
until you change
associates.
Their behavior, though, any knife crime?
Well, so Mark and I, to test whether Jammy Bucks worked, we ran a spaza shop out of the boot of my car.
Uh-huh.
And we were in Hillbrow, just getting a feel for sort of how things go down there. And we caught, I don't know what they were smoking, but they came to us.
Yes.
We ran in the office. And Mark and I, it's completely, you don't expect that combination in the CBD. We were dressed like we were now. It was just... Yeah, we had a good laugh.
They welcome you? Were they friendly? Did they say to you,
they offered
how
us
nice
whatever it was to smoke. I don't know what it was.
Well, that's friendly. People underestimate the CBD's willingness to welcome strangers.
Yeah.
Guys, it's a great idea. Congratulations. I hope it works out really well. And with Alpha Code helping you out, I can only imagine it will. So let's keep in touch and figure out over the next couple of months how it all turns out.
Absolutely. Thanks,
all right.
Gary.
Good for you.
Thanks.
I love that. Solving problems. All right. So, Andile, the next two people we're going to meet from Akiba Digital, tell me about them.
So it is Teboho and Kamukhelo. So Teboho is the CTO of the business, and she has experience. She's triple major, UCLA, UCT, worked for that famed McKinsey. And before that, she was actually at Ellen Gray.
Well, they're very good companies. Just they're involved
they
with the Guptas at a certain stage. You got out before that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so she brings the technical nuance, and being a young black female, she's a unicorn in that space because you're not going to get many.
Which, by the way, is a problem. Obviously, we need to see a lot more. Women and black women in particular in that space.
Especially in tech.
Do you like being called a unicorn, Tebogo?
Not necessarily. It would be nice to have some other, black female entrepreneurs as well as technologists in the space. So, yeah, it's not always great.
All right, so what do you guys do? How does it actually work? What's the idea here?
Well, Akiba was born from the idea that we wanted to get young people to save and or save more effectively. So what we've done is we've built a mobile app that you can download on both app stores.
Uh-huh.
That we launched about 8 weeks ago. We use alternative data to try and understand the user from the sort of indirect relationship that they would have with money and try get them sort of motivated to then start saving a little bit better.
So in other words, you're looking at their behavior. You're trying to figure out based on the data, oh, these people like, let's say, spending on clothes or shoes. Mm. How do we get them to be incentivized to save and to treat their finances a little bit differently by rewarding them with the stuff that they would buy
for sure. And also get them to think about like social influence. So, you know, we use an example where we're like, well, you're out with your friends and everybody's left their wallet at home and you're the only one that has to pay, like, has their wallet. Like, how does that make you feel? Because there is an emotional attachment that's there, but we just never talk about it. So we're trying to get people to think about what is their relationship, what is their money language that they need to develop.
I heard such an interesting thing yesterday. I saw a short 4-minute clip of a guy explaining why milkshakes sell at fast food stores. You guys must know about this.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting, and I'll give you the URL, I'll give you the clip a bit later on if you want to go and look at it for yourself. But basically the idea is here that people need to fill a hole.
Yeah.
They've got a road trip to or from work. They're a little bit hungry, but they don't want to eat chocolate because it makes them feel guilty. So a milkshake sort of fills that space for them. And it's not actually about the milkshake at all.
For sure.
It's got nothing to do with the recipe or the taste, any of the things that you would think it might have to do with.
Yeah.
And in this case, what you guys are talking about is consumer behavior, where the consumer isn't even aware of the reason for their behavior some of the time.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So how are you scaling this up? How does this work from here? And how does AlphaCode's involvement help you?
So, as Gamo mentioned, we have a mobile app that's out on the App Store and Play Store, and that's specifically the savings tool. So the idea there is people can download the app. It's available as in beta.
Anyone can?
Anyone can.
Test it out?
Correct.
Right.
And they can start creating their lifestyle goals and live their best lives.
The only thing people are worried about here is that you're going to use their data for nefarious purposes and sell it to marketers. You're not going to do that?
No, we're not doing Cambridge Analytica here.
Okay,
it's
good.
Not a Facebook saga. so the plan is we're trying to understand the customer better, the millennial, see what they like, what they aspirations.
Good
are.
Luck. Millennials don't even know what
they don't even are. Know. Yeah. But what we do know is that they want to live their best lives and they want to go to Bali and they want to buy the nice things. So from there, we can sort of understand the behavior and then start getting the rewards that they need. So if it's a Spotify voucher that you want, a Woolworths voucher that you want, that's sort of what will nudge you to get. And then with that, sort of create a hook to get you saving more or do good for yourself.
So, I mean, you're trying in the end to make them do good things for themselves.
Correct.
Which is almost altruistic. How do you guys make money?
So we came to that problem or that challenge.
Yeah.
But through that...
I mean, you're not UNICEF.
No, for sure. but you're right in the sense that young people don't know what they want, number one. And then we realized that there was another layer where there was a lack of financial literacy across the board.
Uh-huh.
And when we were doing discovery with corporates, the financial services providers, we realized they want to engage with young people, but they don't know how to start. Young people want personalized products, but they just don't trust these FSPs.
Yeah.
So we said, well, why don't we take our bot? We do have a bot. Her name is Gugu the Shepherd. Mm-hmm. She's there to shepherd your money.
Right.
But Gugu, what we did is we created her, and we said, what happens if we extrapolate her and give her own platform? And so we said, well, cool, this sounds pretty cool. So let's design a data-driven financial services marketplace. In short, a Google for financial services, where users can plug in and find value from getting curated fun financial content that speaks to their money personality. You might be an avoider or a spender, but it means we're different. So we should be receiving different content that is personalized to us so that we can get you financially confident and making...
And short of actually knowing everybody's every... behavior, knowing being their relative.
Absolutely.
Short of that, this is the best way of giving them the stuff they need.
Absolutely.
Okay, love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, I can see why you chose these people. Andile, nice job.
Thank you.
All right, so what happens for you next? Are you going to be watching them like a hawk?
Every day.
are you guys okay with that?
Huh? I mean, if they give us another million.
Sure, already taking the initiative to try and get more money from
us. If you don't ask, you don't get.
This is true. So from here on in, the program actually starts on the 1st of November. We've got their first boot camp. They're going to get to meet their mentors, and the mentors are then going to guide them through the early stage of getting them to understand elements of the lean methodology. And then every month from here on in is is another boot camp giving them insights on specific elements that are relevant for their businesses. So we are taking them on a 12-month journey. They're going to be based at the AlphaCode offices in Stanton. And yeah,
from Merchant Place.
To Merchant Place.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, now. How did you get involved in all of this? I know you didn't come here to talk about yourself, but I'm curious anyway. So how did you become the head of strategy and ecosystem development for AlphaCode?
Interesting story. So Akiba Digital is a company I helped found. So the guys, yeah. And
nepotism.
Corruption.
This is exactly why I was like, let me clarify.
You and Floyd and Brian Shivambu.
Tell the story.
Let me tell the full story.
What's his share in your property business, guys?
So chartered accountant by qualification and always wanted to be an entrepreneur, spent past 3 years then doing that. And the last year was spent with Akiba. We wanted to initially build a digital bank.
Did AlphaCode steal you from Akiba or did you?
Wow.
Okay, let me hear their version of the story. Did you guys give him away?
We said, you know what, he needs to go develop a little bit more and he can offer the ecosystem more than he can offer us. So he, let go, fly, young bird.
You basically relieved yourself of an extra salary. Yes. And in doing so, scored $1 million from AlphaCode.
Absolute.
You are good business people.
There
you really
go.
Are
there
very
you
sharp.
Go.
I was not involved in the selection, just so that
no, you're
that
just a, you're not. You're an object in this discussion.
Thank you.
I'm talking to your fellow founding partners here. Yes. All right. So you, how many businesses in total? We've met two of the businesses now. Are we going to meet some others?
Yes. So there will be two more next week out of the total 8.
All right.
Would have loved to have all of them on, but it's just a time constraint thing. So you'll have a chance to chat to some of those guys as well. And yeah.
All right. Very
good. Maybe throughout next year, we might engage more of them on your platform.
Absolutely. Very, very good. Thank you, Andile. Andile Maseko is the head of strategy and ecosystem development at AlphaCode. And we get to meet the guys from Jammy and from Akiba Digital this morning. So if you want to know more about them, you can also head on over to AlphaCodeIncubate.club. And you can find out a little bit more there about the various businesses. And you know what? If you have an idea and you didn't get in this time, maybe next time. Got to get in and make a difference. All right. Thank you very much. That's pretty much all we got time for today. Let me wrap it up with the unnews for this morning so that you can figure out your way through the day. And don't forget, Decrypto, episode 3. Is it episode 3 or 4? It's episode 5 already. We're moving fast. So on this week's episode of Decrypto, which is brought to you by Luno, can government get their hands on your cryptocurrency profits? What are the dangers of the market falling apart? Who understands this inside the structures that currently exist better than anyone else? Well, I got to speak to Dr. Arif Ismail, who is the head of fintech at the South African Reserve Bank. You don't want to miss this conversation. It might just surprise you. I know a lot of people have fallen out of love with cryptocurrencies in the last while because the values and the prices have gone down, but it's still a very real part of the financial ecosystem, and it's a growing part of it. And it will continue to play a role in the way that money is moved between nations, between individuals, and between corporations. So make sure you're not left out in the cold. Decrypto is powered by Luno, Africa's first cryptocurrency platform. New Luno customers can take advantage of 50 Rand in free Bitcoin when making the first purchase of 500 Rand or more with the promo code DECRYPTO50. Okay, take that down. Go on to Luno and you get an extra 50 Rand's worth of Bitcoin, which right now is probably thousands of Bitcoin. Yeah, in December last year, it was a thousandth of a Bitcoin. So go on and take a look. And if you want to find out more, head on over to Luno. They've got a terrific platform there that's full of information. And, of course, our first-of-its-kind podcast, Decrypto, which you can listen to all 5 episodes that are currently available. And this one with Arif Ismail, the head of fintech at the South African Reserve Bank. You know, people try to pit the Reserve Bank against cryptocurrency. But I thought Arif Ismail had a very good take on all of this, and I think you will too. But I'm not going to tell you what to think. You go and have a look, and you could tell me what you think. Get hold of me on gareth@cliffcentral.com. And remember that special deal from Luno. You could take advantage of 50 Rand in free Bitcoin when making your first purchase of 500 Rand or more with the promo code DECRYPTO50. You heard it here. Make sure you don't miss out. All right? Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's check in on the unnews. And then we have plenty more through the course of this Wednesday on cliffcentral.com. All right, first things first. Tito Mboweni will deliver his first medium-term budget speech today since being installed as South Africa's newest finance minister. He's pretty relaxed about it too. The economy may be in the toilet, but he believes the bar is so low right now he could say anything and be seen as a hero. Unless he raises VAT by another percentage point. If he does that, there'll be riots. Drama unfolded yesterday in Fiji during the royal visit of Prince Harry and Rachel from Suits. She was being shown around an indoor market, but was quickly whisked away on fears of the area not being secure. The real reason behind the evacuation was that Harry had a dodgy curry the night before and needed to head back to the hotel loo pronto. Couldn't go on his own. And finally, the Women's T20 World Cup takes place next month in the West Indies. The Women's Proteas team left yesterday for it from Johannesburg, but with budgets being what they are, they may not make it in time for their first match on the 12th of November. Good news, though, the boat that they're on does have windows this time, unlike the one they went to England on earlier this year. Some of them are still on it. We don't know where the rest of the team are. CliffCentral.com